Welcome to each one this morning. It's a blessing to be together in God's house, is it not? Open your Bibles, please, to St. John chapter 4. I was stirred by those thoughts on Jonathan. May God make each one of us like Jonathan, a man of courage, of bravery, and of faith. Amen? It's easy to be afraid and cowering under the pressure of life and the troubles that come our way. Okay, St. John chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 5. Let's go ahead and rise first for prayer, if you don't mind. Let's stand before the Lord and ask for His blessings upon us. Amen, Father. We just stand here before You, quiet our hearts. Give us grace, we pray. We pray that You'd make us strong like Jonathan, Lord, a man of faith and courage. And God, I pray that You'd bless Your word and give us success. Lord, we pray that You'd give anointing to me, give me liberty and freedom to proclaim Your word. Just confess my own pride, Lord, and I just admit it to You and pray that You'd make me humble and broken. May You flow through me and may no self obscure the flow of grace, we pray. Lord, show us Your truth. Show us Your high calling upon our lives. Lord, lift us up. Give us eyesight that we can see the things that You have for us today. Give us Your grace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So here in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, and we'll read down through verse 18. So John 4, beginning here in verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples had gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, and drank he thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thine husband, and this thou sayest truly. And this woman in this passage really depicts the life and quest of so many, many people. It seems to me like she had a big need deep within her heart. Something was lacking and missing in her life. She had a vacuum and a void deep within her soul. Something was missing, and she was longing to have that vacuum and that need met by something. It seems to me that she was looking for something, something of purpose, something of satisfaction, something of fulfillment for her life. And I'm sure that she tried many, many things, trying to fill this need in her heart and life, trying thing after thing, hoping to find something that would give her fulfillment in her life. We see here that she had five husbands plus her sixth man she had right then. You know, five husbands plus the sixth fellow. You know, to me that speaks of a hunger, a need, trying to find something to fill this need in her life. And I suppose, like so many, her life was empty, and that she was on a quest, trying to find something that would be able to give her that fulfillment she so craved and meet the need of the void deep, deep inside her heart. You know, as I look around today in the world, you see so many people who are just like this woman. People who have a void and a vacuum in their life. We see a world, a myriad of people who are searching for something that can give them purpose, satisfaction, and fulfillment in life. Now, some, they go to the field of fun and pleasure. Go over there for month after month, stumbling around in the world of fun and pleasure, trying to feel this need and give them fulfillment in life. And they try all kinds of fun things and all kinds of pleasures. Some go to the world of fame and popularity, trying to find something in fame and popularity that can give them this fulfillment in their life. Some try money, chasing the dollar, business, trying to fill their life with something that can give them satisfaction and purpose in their life. Some try entertainment and music, just drowning their lives with entertainment and movies and video games, trying to fill this vacuum and need in their lives. And this fuels our economy in a very, very powerful way, does it not? This is the big engine behind a lot of commerce, is the need that men have to find fulfillment in life. You know, a lot of the advertisements you see focus right here, targeting this need of mankind to find fulfillment. So they push all these ads, all these billboards, pushing to pull with this thing of fulfillment and purpose and satisfaction in life. I think a little bit about the summer night cruise. See, all these folks bring all their classic vehicles, all their antiques, the nice Camaros, the Corvettes, the Mustangs. People come from all over flocking into Somerset. You know, to me, that speaks of a need. Man's trying to find fulfillment in stuff and things. Amen? I think about Lake Cumberland and all the nice trucks you see down there this time of the year. Nice trailers with a nice big boat coming down from Ohio or Indiana, coming down here for a good weekend of beer and all kinds of good fun things in the lake. You know, man is trying to find fulfillment in life. Think a little bit about Broadway in Nashville. What's the quest there? People are trying to find fulfillment in life. You know, they are chasing thing after thing after thing, trying to find something that will give them fulfillment and satisfaction and purpose in life. They try this, try that, on and on, trying to fill their vacuum deep, deep inside their hearts. So some rush, some thrill, some pleasure, some fame, some status, some wealth that will meet the need of man's heart. You know, there's a cry deep inside of all humanity, and that is, where, oh, where, oh, where can I find fulfillment for my life? But the sad thing is as you look around the world today, you see so many, many sad, empty, depressed, lonely, hurting, purposeless, unfulfilled people everywhere. All around us, you see the landscape is just scattered by people, empty lives, lonely, depressed, purposeless, unfulfilled people. I see sad faces everywhere. Go to Istanbul, go to Denmark, just wherever you want to go, you see sad, lonely people everywhere, empty lives all around us. Sorrow, grief, disappointment on all sides, lives falling apart, and misery everywhere in the world. Amen? People being destroyed by alcohol and drugs, left and right. Strife, bickering, and hate fills our land. People ODing left and right all around us. Overdose, overdose, overdose. Why is this? Suicide is so rampant. Why? What's the need? Why is this so? Why? Here's the reason. Because the world has nothing to offer. Nothing at all to offer to fill the void in man's heart. Its system is bankrupt. It can only give you cold checks. And it can write tremendously large checks, give it to you, promising you all kinds of fun and pleasure. But it's a cold check. It means nothing at all. The world's fountain only gives bitter water, my friend. It's an empty gold chest. It looks so immaculate and just full of all kinds of riches. Open it up, it's an empty gold chest. Nothing at all to give to anyone. Empty clouds is all that it has. It can never satisfy your soul or meet the need of your heart and give you fulfillment. Never. Never once. Think of me a little bit of the prodigal son, how it was for him. You know, he left father's house. He said, give me now the portion of goods. I'm out of here. Have a good time. Enjoy the world's pleasures. Drink it up. Have a wonderful fling, right? How was it for him? An empty gold chest. Nothing at all to meet the need of fulfillment for his heart. He came back dressed in rags, poor, lonely, sad, let down. That's the world system. It's bankrupt. Now, a person that we, at least most of us know here, is Jerry Eads. Who all knows Jerry Eads? Raise your hand nice and high, please. Most of us here do. You know, to me, wisdom cries without right there. He's a young man, or he was a young man, at 17, left home. Going to have a good time. Go out there and just drink the world's fountain. Have a good old party life. As the years rolled by, Jerry found misery and misery and misery was his portion. In prison for I forget how long, but a long time. Just sorrow and grief one after the next. The world system was bankrupt for him. One day, on the phone with his 17-year-old son, I think it was, young man, life was hard for his son, too. He was in West Virginia, a few hours away. His son was having a very rough time. Just misery was his lot, too. Part of reaping along with dad and the tremendous sowing they were doing together. Anyhow, Jerry was counseling his son, don't do it, son, don't do it. You can hang in there. His son was suicidal, depressed, sad, alone, and discouraged. Then Jerry heard the shot go off. It was all quiet. His son committed suicide while on the phone with his father. You know, the world system is bankrupt. It only gives bitter water. I have a customer, a buddy of mine, or did have, rather. His name was Marty Meese, a young man in his 40s. You know, he had life by the tail in so many ways. Enjoying the pleasures of life, having a good time, living it up. Very enjoyable. And, of course, his harvest wasn't very rich for him. He ended up having a divorce, and he had alcohol issues, and just his life was spiraling major time. Financial trouble, life was going downhill for him very, very rapidly. Health failing, too. He had diabetes. And he became so discouraged in the end, so depressed, that it's believed that he just sat in his house for around 3 months, his last 3 months on earth. And he allowed, it seemed like he allowed himself to just totally waste away with diabetes, with no treatment. He was so discouraged. One day his children came home to see him, a 15-year-old daughter, and I think a 16-year-old son came to see him. They opened the door of the house and found dad dead on the floor. Now, the world system offers nothing at all to meet fulfillment for us. The world system is truly bankrupt. It's elusive and empty. It looks so wonderful and great, but as you chase after it, it keeps going farther and farther ahead of you. It's elusive and empty. I love these words right here. These are beautiful words. Fading is the worldling's pleasures, all its boast and pomp and show. You know, it boasts so much. It promises so much. But fading is the worldling's pleasure. All its boasts and pomp and show. But solid joys and lasting treasures, none but Zion's children know. That system is bankrupt. It's a counterfeit. It's elusive and empty. And it's fading away. Those lights, all that glistening fun out there, is fading away. But in here, amen, solid joys and lasting treasures, none but Zion's children know. Look here in verse 14 of our chapter and see what Christ has to offer this woman. It's beautiful. Verse 14, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. There you have it. Solid joys and lasting treasures. None but Zion's children know. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. You know, Christ there was offering this lady true and lasting fulfillment for her life. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? Whoever drinks of my water shall never thirst again. That's not bankrupt. That's immense wealth, is it not? I want to share with us this morning on fulfillment in Christ. Fulfillment in Christ. Now, Jesus here was offering this lady total, complete, unending, eternal fulfillment. It was being offered to her. Here's fulfillment that will last your whole lifetime. It will last into eternity. Never let you down. Here it is. It's found in me. Look at his words here. It says that, in this verse here, it says, but the water that I give shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. What I see there is a personal fountain in your soul that keeps bubbling forth with water, with fresh life, day after day after day. Something inside of you, the fountain that keeps bubbling forth with fresh life. Not just for a weekend, not just for a month, but no, for a lifetime. A personal fountain within you that bubbles up with fresh life, day after day after day. John 10:10 says, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. That's the fresh life that keeps going over and over again. Turn to John 6, verse 35, please. Some more words of Christ on fulfillment that's just so, to me, so beautiful. John 6, 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. See that? And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. There's fulfillment. Amen? That's substance that Zion's children know. The world's, it's fading, but ours is solid and lasting and eternal. This to me is an amazing promise. You know, I can promise you so much. I can promise you a big ranch or a big truck, but I can't give that. But Christ here promises something that's real, that he can give to you, that's genuine, not as an empty promise, but it's a real promise that we can have as a reality in our lives, day after day, of this fountain within us that bubbles forth of this rich fulfillment of no hunger, no thirst, day in and day out of the real life that you and I experience here on earth. So what is fulfillment? Here's my thought on that, is it's an inner delight of contented satisfaction. Do you want that? An inner delight of contented satisfaction, where your heart is at rest. There's a quiet peace inside of you. My needs are all met, and my heart is rejoicing with peace and life and joy. I want that. Amen. Do you want that? Raise your hand. I want that quiet rest and that thing of my heart's needs are all met, and I'm rejoicing with peace and love and joy day after day of abiding in Christ and finding that rich life, or that fountain within that bubbles up day after day. And it's found in Christ. That's where it's found. You know, fulfillment in Christ answers a thousand problems, does it not? Fulfillment in Christ answers a thousand needs in our lives. You know, a lot of problems that we experience in life, I believe, is a result of a lack of fulfillment in Jesus. I think both in our personal lives, but also in family and church, a lot of the issues that we face, I believe, is a result of a lack of fulfillment. Now, ponder with me a little bit here of a flock of sheep that has just a rich, rich pasture. I mean, lush grass, plenty of food in the trough, grain to eat, nice fresh water. Just a beautiful picture of just lush green grass and needs all met. Those sheep up there, full tummies, lots of water, They're quiet and restful, chewing their cud. They're growing and prospering. This is a contented flock of sheep. They're content and at rest. But also ponder a flock of sheep that has barren dirt, no pasture at all, no fresh water to drink. You know, they're out there bleeding, wandering around, hunting for a hole in the fence. They're not content, right? A lot of problems would be in that herd. You know, it's the same for you and I. If we are fulfilled in Christ, so many needs are cleared up. So many problems are answered as we are fulfilled in Christ. When a person comes to the place of being fully fulfilled in Christ, so many things come right in their life. I have seen that and I've experienced it in my own life. You know, what's the perfect remedy for the restless, purposeless years of our youth? So many youth are restless. No clear purpose. No clear path forward. A lot of just restlessness. A lot of wanting to do this here and go over here and do all this stuff. You know, what's the remedy for that there? I think the remedy there is for our youth to find fulfillment in Christ. It brings a restfulness. It brings a settledness in their lives. Not all this fidgety, restless, going here and going there. It brings so many things right for our youth when they can find that fulfillment in Christ. How about friendship drama that so many young ladies experience in life? Or the friendship drama where you're fussing over friends and want to have a special friend here and you're protecting and guarding that. You know, what's the remedy for all that stuff there? But to me, the remedy for that stuff there, I believe, often is if they can find fulfillment in Christ, that stuff is cleared up. All this fussing over friends is brought to rest as they find fulfillment in Jesus. How about the strong pull toward the world that so many experience in life? This always gravitating more toward the world, and the pull is so strong. Why is that? I think if they can find fulfillment in Christ, that will be largely cleared up in their lives. How about the thing of the workaholic syndrome, where you're always going, 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 and can never stop working? I think that can be traced back to a lack of fulfillment in Jesus. Amen? How about falling into strong temptations over and over again, or having failure that you can never find victory in your life? Check out the fulfillment in Christ. How about the issue of discouragement and being burned out and weary? I think finding fulfillment in Christ is a long ways for that issue too. How about the issue of being single year after year, wishing for marriage? You're 23, 26, 29, friends are getting married. I'm here alone. Go to the weddings, come back teary-eyed. Where's my husband at? Where's my wife at? Don't have any. I think it'll be very helpful if you can find fulfillment in Christ to have that issue brought to rest in your life where you're content and satisfied in Jesus. Fulfilled in Him will go a long ways for you, I believe. The remedy for these problems here, I believe, is largely by finding fulfillment in Jesus and having my needs met and satisfied in Christ. You know, it's the will of God for us that our lives be rich and overflowing with all the fulfillment of Jesus, that we live that way day after day, being fulfilled in Christ Jesus, where we are fully fulfilled and delighted and satisfied in Christ Jesus. That goes so far in our lives. But I wonder how much do we really experience of this fulfillment in our everyday lives of walking with God? How much do we experience and taste of this wealth that's ours in Christ Jesus? How does your fuel gauge read throughout the week of your fulfillment in Christ Jesus? Sadly, I think many Christians live very empty, unfulfilled lives way too often, and myself included, of not experiencing the tremendous wealth that's ours in Christ Jesus. They live as though Christ had but little to offer them. You know, you would see by their lives that there's not much for us in Christ by how he or she lives. There must not be that much wealth for us by how they live. But they're very empty and very unfulfilled in Jesus. Many Christians experience only but a little of all that's available for them in Christ Jesus. Many are content to play on the palace porch, but never go inside and experience all that's available in the palace. Picture this massive palace. You know, it is big, spacious, beautiful, gorgeous, and it's all yours. The key is yours. It's all yours. Take it and enjoy it. But you go there and go on the front porch and say, wow, this is beautiful. This is tremendous. There's so much here. Wow. Open the door and see inside. Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. Beautiful. But you live day after day only on the porch. Never go inside the palace. You might open the door and see inside. Oh, wow. Beautiful. Wow. Breathtaking. But you live your life on the porch of the palace. That's folly, is it not? I think many Christians are the same way. Christ is so immense, so beautiful, so much welfare. But you're on the porch month after month, year after year. Wow, it's nice porch, beautiful. Open the door, wow. Wow, glorious, beautiful. But there you sit, day after day, year after year. I think many Christians are that way. Christ is so beautiful, so precious, so much for us there. Many splash on the shore when they should be swimming out in the depths of all the richness of Christ. They're on the shore, splashing around, having a good time. Wow, it's beautiful water. It's clean, nice, lovely. But there's a huge sea out there. Dive in and enjoy the depths of Christ. Many nibble on a few dry crumbs off the floor, or the table is spread and loaded with all kinds of richness for us to enjoy. But here we're on the floor, getting a few crumbs and enjoying that, when the table is filled up with all kinds of richness for us in Jesus. And Christ stands before us and freely offers to all, come and partake of all the fulfillment that I'm offering you in myself. Not on the floor, not on the porch, not on the shore, but enjoy all that I have for you to enjoy in me. That's the heart of Christ for us. So what does this fulfillment consist of? Well, first of all, I believe it consists in the salvation of Christ. I want to go through three things. But first of all, this fulfillment consists in the salvation of Christ. Think of what happens in your heart at conversion. What takes place in the heart there? We come to Jesus. We're poor. We're broken. We're sinful. We're filthy. We're weary. We're vile. We're empty. We're ruined. Wrecked and lost and undone by sin. We're shackled by sin. We're a slave of sin. We're helpless and hopeless. That's how we come, right? Ruined, shattered lives. But Jesus takes us. He takes us and He freely forgives us of all of our sin. He pardons us completely of all of our crimes against Him. He cleanses, He washes, He heals, He restores, He frees us, and He fills our hearts and life and soul. That's what happens in the heart at conversion. Amen? It's beautiful. That's the wealth of the salvation of Christ that He gives to us. And He takes us into His family and makes us part of the Beloved. That's the salvation that Jesus offers to us. You know, and the joy and delight of that moment is inexpressible, is it not? Coming to Jesus for the first time, having grace wash your heart and soul, that is inexpressible joy and delight that we find in that moment. The peace and rest of that fulfillment and satisfaction, words cannot tell. It's beautiful. It's tremendous. Your soul is full and overflowing with the delights of a satisfied, fulfilled heart at that moment. What a wealth is yours. The longing, the hunger, the thirst, the wrestlings, the wonderings are at last all over as you rest in the salvation of Christ. That's a beautiful experience that Christ gives to us. That's salvation. You know, it's kind of the same as a lost child. Young boy, about maybe 12 years old, gets lost and gets captured, taken away in prison and slavery for months. He's whipped. He's beat. He's abused. He's worked so hard, fed so little, but he escapes and wanders toward his father's house. He's dressed in rags. His hair is matted and dirty. He's hungry. He's cold. He's alone. It's dark and it's rainy. He's miserable. He's stumbling along trying to find his father's house again. And there he is, all alone, cold, destitute, discouraged. But his father finds him, takes his son back home again, takes all the rags off of him, puts on a fresh, clean clothes, gives him a shower, and gives him a nice, hot meal, and takes his son and puts him in his own bed again. And now his son is fulfilled. His heart is at rest. He's now resting in his father's house. That's what it is for you and I in salvation. We come to Jesus the same way, ruined, wrecked by sin, but Christ pardons us, accepts us back, and we're resting in him. That's us in the salvation that Christ has. That's the fulfillment that's ours in Jesus. I've got a song here I want to read to you, if you don't mind. To me, it has it said very beautifully here. All my life long I had panted for a draught from some cool spring that I hope would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Feeding on the husk around me till my strength was almost gone. Longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Poor I was, and sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gathered around me only mocked my soul's sad cry. Then we have well of water, that's Jesus, ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth. My Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. That's the fulfillment that's in Christ, in salvation. What a wealth, what a richness it is. Now, as you think of Christ, your heart is full and finally satisfied. You're fulfilled in Jesus. All those needs are met in salvation. Amen? But also I want to look at the second aspect of this fulfillment in Christ, and it is found in the relationship of Jesus. You have salvation. Our needs are met in him. It's beautiful. We're washed, we're cleansed, we're restored. But now we go on to the relationship of Christ, and that's where the next level of his fulfillment is found. This is the key that so many Christians miss out on right here. Many know next to nothing of the sweet, rich, lofty relationship that we can have in Christ Jesus. This is the key or secret that so many miss out on, and their lives are not fulfilled because of it. Because here's the thing, no relationship, no fulfillment. But if you have a big relationship, a strong walk with God, there's a tremendous fulfillment that you can find in Christ Jesus. I think many Christians come to Jesus and have salvation, get forgiven, are born again, and they stop right there and never go on to the walk with God, our relationships with him, enjoying him. And because of that, they soon find their Christian lives to be unfulfilled and dissatisfying. You know, it comes down to simply being alone with God. That's the key. It's time set apart to focus on him, to draw near to him, to love, to delight, and to joy in Christ. That's the key right there. That secret place, those quiet moments of being alone with him in his presence, basking in his smile, enjoying him in a secret place somewhere. That's the key to you finding lasting fulfillment in Jesus. That's the key to having a real rich relationship and finding that wealth in him. Not just in salvation. That's beautiful. But going on to the next level of a rich, lofty relationship of walking and enjoying God in his presence day after day. That sweet time alone with him. That sweet fellowship alone with him. Pouring out your soul to him in prayer. Sharing with him your sorrows and fears and cares. That's so key to you. That's so key to me if you want to have a real walk with God. Getting alone, casting all your cares upon him. Unloading your heart to him in secret prayer. Such a vital thing. that sweet fellowship alone with Him, of rejoicing in His presence, singing, worshiping, loving, and delighting in Him. Such an important thing. Being alone in secret, maybe some far off part of the farm, maybe some part of the woods out there alone, just worshiping Christ, singing to Him, praising Him, exalting Him, making Him great in your heart and mind, loving Him, enjoying that still place. That's fulfillment in Christ that so many Christians rob themselves of. They come to salvation and get born again, but never go on to the next level of a real relationship of loving the beauty and joy and the sweetness of Jesus. They're strangers to those things. Maybe your closet, but you're there worshiping, praising, gazing on Christ with adoration and love and beauty to Him. So important if you want to find lasting fulfillment in the Christian life. No, it's a heart-soul connection with you and God. Not some songs being sung, not some prayer being made, not some speech to the Almighty, no. It's a heart-soul connection between you and the Almighty. That's the whole goal of the thing. Where your heart and your soul is connecting with the Maker of all things. Praising, joying, singing, worshiping Him. That's the whole point. Not some speech, but it's a real relationship between you and Jesus. It's enjoying His presence and delighting in Him. Amen? I'm in His presence and I'm joying and delighting in the Almighty. It's being alone with God and my heart is full and running over. Amen. What a place to be. My heart's not just dry and lifeless. No, but it's full and bubbling forth to the Almighty. I'm enjoying His presence. My heart is full that basks in His presence, in His smile. It's being alone with God, and I leave refreshed, renewed, and restored. Amen. I come out of my closet or that part of the farm. I leave that place that I am renewed. I am restored. I am refreshed. My batteries were dead. I went in there, and I was discouraged, alone, you know, sad. But after my time in there, I am refreshed. My battery is charged again. I'm ready for life again. That's God's heart for each one of us. That's the fulfillment in Christ. Christ longs to have this time with every one of us. Not just to a few on rare occasions, no. But where you daily experience the presence of God in this way. It comes down to simply loving God with all my heart and finding all my delight in Him. That's the goal. That's where God wants to go with each one of us today. It's being totally enveloped and lost in the love of Jesus. That's what it's all about. You know, and it's in this love relationship with Jesus that we find our fulfillment in Christ. Not just reading some scriptures, having a little speech, but no, it's in this love relationship with Jesus that I find this fountain of life, this well of water in my soul that bubbles forth day after day through the hard times, through temptations, through discouragements. This well is there because of a love relationship that I maintain with Jesus. Psalm 16:11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." I'm going to ask you, do you experience this in your life? How often of being in His presence you find it? Yes. It's in there that I find fullness of joy. And it's in there that I find pleasures forevermore in my life. I marvel at how many Christians live virtual strangers to the joys of Christ. Do you this morning? But I call us to this. I call us to this real relationship with Jesus. You see, in the Psalms, David had this. Beautifully so. It wasn't theology. It wasn't a lofty aspiration. No, it was his life. A finding Christ, finding God beautiful and precious to him. You see in David Brenner's life that his life was full of the same thing, of where he'd go alone with God, and he would find his heart just bubbling over with love and delight toward Jesus. That was Brenner's life. He's a man that just enjoyed the presence of Christ. And his life was full of fulfillment. David Cooper, Don tells me the story of growing up as a young boy. In the morning, he'd be awakened pretty often by his father in the basement as he was singing and worshiping and praising Christ. And Don would get awake in the morning by his father's voice down in the basement as he was just worshiping and enjoying the presence of God. What a wealth to your son to have dad in the basement worshiping and praising Jesus. So our last point is fulfillment in Christ is found in the service of Jesus. Turn to John 4 again and begin in verse 31. So it's in salvation. You got that one? It's in the relationship of Christ. It's also in the service of Christ. Our last point here. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat, get this here, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So Christ was here hungry. He was worn out and weary. Disciples all left him and came back with bread and gave it to him. He says, Hey, listen, I'm not hungry anymore. My needs are all met. I have a full tummy, he's saying. I am satisfied. And they're like, wow, why? How did that happen? He says, listen, my meat is to do my Father's will. And to be engaged in that work, I find richness of fulfillment for my life. The point is here, is he that watereth shall be watered. Those that are involved in Christian service and laboring for the Lord Jesus find themselves richly blessed as they engage in service to Jesus. If you're one that waters a lot, you will also be watered yourself. The one who fills his life with service for Christ finds his life rich and blessed and fulfilled. If your life is full of working for yourself, paying your own bills, building your own empire, gaining more wealth, you will be an empty, miserable person. If your life is all about your own self, your own hobbies, your own recreation, your own fun things, you will be a miserable person. But if your life is full of service for Jesus, engaging in that work, you will be a rich, blessed, fulfilled person, guaranteed you. You know, our work should be spiritual, I agree, you know. Building barns, hauling barns, butchering, building fence, engine repair, that should be spiritual to you. It should be. But I think also it's more than that. I believe our lives should be spent trying to meet the spiritual needs of those around us. That should be our chief end in life. As I want to be effective in helping people in their spiritual problems and making a difference for Christ and ministering to the spiritual needs of those right around us. And if you want to be a fulfilled Christian, begin to immerse yourself in ministering to the spiritual needs of those right around you. Turkey is great. Ecuador is wonderful. But begin right here. Those around you, begin to reach out and minister to the spiritual needs of those on the pews right beside you. In the community, there's many needs that we can be engaging ourselves into. Now, how to start? First of all, ask God to give you a burden for souls. Begin right there. Hit your knees and ask, Lord, give me a burden for people. Impress a burden for souls upon my heart. Secondly, ask God to give you a loving, tender heart for others. So important. Lord, fill my heart with tender compassion for people. Begin right there. seeking God for a tender, loving heart for other people, to feel the pain of others, to sympathize, to weep with them, to carry their burdens along with them. So important. And then thirdly, ask God to make you an able minister of the new covenant. That's important. Paul said, thanks be unto God who have made us to be able ministers. Ask God to do the same work in your life. Ask God to make me, please, Lord, make me an able minister for you. Then fourthly, start reaching out, asking God to help you. Begin to reach out to this need over here, this need over here. All these needs, Lord, I want to begin to reach out. Lord, make me effective and enable me for you. And as you begin to do this, as you begin to do this here, you will see 1,000 needs right around you, guarantee you. As you begin to, the small things over here, very insignificant, very lowly, begin right there. You see more over here and more over there. Your life will be filled full of endless things that you can do to help the needs of those right around you. You will see 1,000 needs around you. It's overwhelming as you begin to have your eyes opened up to the tremendous needs in the world. The harvest is great, but the laborers are very, very few. There's endless things for each one of us to be engaged in right here in our own community. Amen? Soon you will have no time for personal pleasure and fun and recreation. Your life will be so full of spiritual needs being met and over here and over there that you have no time for your fun and games and recreation, because the cause of Christ and His kingdom has preeminence now in your life, and you're filled full of His cares, His burdens, and the needs of His kingdom. And you will find yourself richly blessed and full and satisfied and content and fulfilled in Christ as you pour yourselves out to those around you. I love the example of the household of Stephanas in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 16. It says that they had addicted themselves unto the ministry of the saints. What a picture. Paul said, you know those guys. You know that family over there. You know them. That they have made themselves hooked on ministering to people. They have to go back again and again for their fix or their high because they are hooked on that stuff. It makes them encouraged. It makes them upbeat. It makes them so happy as they begin to minister again and again and again. They were hooked on ministry. Paul said, you know them. It was common knowledge that that family was hooked on ministry. What an example for you to aspire to, young person. What an example for us all to aspire to that theory. I want to be hooked, Lord, on ministering to your saints and the people. God, make me a holy addict where I've got to be going again and again for my fix on ministry. May God make us all this way. I love Paul's example. Paul had a beautiful example of this himself. He says, Paul saw himself as an ambassador for Christ, sent out to reconcile a lost world back to God. And Paul had a tremendous burden for souls. He says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul had a burden on his heart. He saw God's coming judgment. He saw God's wrath and the fury of His anger against sin. And that made Paul active and going because of the terror of God that was coming. He said, I know that terror, and I am a persuader of men. I am persuading people wherever I meet because of the coming judgment against sin. Paul had a passion, and that was to present every man perfect in Christ. Paul saw every person as a candidate for the gospel, and he tried his utmost to present every man perfect in Jesus. That was Paul's goal. This coming terror against sin, and I want to see every person made perfect in Jesus. Paul was also full of love. He says, the love of Christ constraineth us. Paul said, I am baptized with Christ's love, and that love is overpowering me. It's dragging me all over the world, preaching the gospel of Christ. I am consumed with Christ's love. What an example for us. May we be one of those that are overpowered with the love of God. Paul was also very active In Acts 20, verse 31, it says here, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. That wasn't just for 3 years. That was a picture of his entire life. His life was full of this intense passion for souls in Christ's service. He said, while I was with you for those 3 years, I ceased not. It was ever ongoing of Paul warning every man night and day with tears. Imagine you're in your house. It's the supper time. You're having a nice meal with your family. Who's there? Go to the door, open up. There's Brother Paul. Paul, come on in. It's good to see you. Welcome. Grab a chair and have a feast with us here. Paul says, no, it's okay. It's okay. Paul's eyes get full of tears. He says, brother, I have a concern for you. I'm troubled about your life in this area. With tears, he tells you his concern for you, gives you a hug, and then leaves. That was Paul's life. He ceased not for 3 years while in Ephesus doing this work of warning people night and day with tears. Imagine 2 o'clock in the morning, you're there in your bed sawing logs, and you're just snoring away, having good sleep. What is that? It's a knock. Open the door. Brother Paul, what's wrong? It's late. Paul looks at you with tear-filled eyes. He says, brother, I have a concern for you. I am troubled about your life. Listen, please hear my warning to you. And the tears. That was Paul, a man active in the service of Christ. For 3 years, I ceased not night and day to warn every man with tears. This should be our aspiration, to be this way. Not that you get around and knock on doors at 2 o'clock in the morning, but the same intense longing for souls. God, make me a minister of your gospel. Make me effective in the spiritual needs around that I see in my community. May that be our heart. Be one that turns many to righteousness. Make a difference in the kingdom for souls. This kind of life will yield you boundless and measurable fulfillment in both in salvation and your walk with Christ and also in the service of his kingdom. With those three together, you will be a fulfilled, satisfied, rich, rich person enjoying the immeasurable wealth of Jesus Christ. So in closing here, to obtain this fulfillment, you need to be one who's totally abandoned to God. Not a partial surrender. Not where half of your life is given to him, where he can be king over part of your life. But no, you are totally abandoned to God. I want to ask you, are you one who is totally abandoned to God? Is that your experience? Is that the reality of your life, where you're one who's given completely over to Jesus Christ? Christ has full sway. His scepter goes over all areas of your life. Everything is brought under his lordship. Is that your experience? If you want fulfillment in Christ, you must be one who is totally abandoned to God. It takes a complete sellout to God. Everything must go. Everything must come under his authority in your life. He must be Lord and King over all. All devotion must be given to him. All the loves must go, and you must have one love fixed on Christ, abandoned to God. Make Christ and his service the fullness and passion of your life, and you will be a fulfilled, rich person. So how is it with you this morning? Are you totally abandoned to God? Is it theology or is it reality in your life? Are you living in this life of boundless fulfillment in Christ? Is that your experience week after week? Is it in boot camp? Is it in Bible school? Or is it your life of enjoying the richness of Christ? Well, the world has no pull. It has no power over my life. I'm fulfilled and delighted in Jesus, day after day, living in the richness of Christ, not on the porch, but no, in the whole palace. Not on the shore, but no, in the boundless sea of Christ. Not on the table a few crumbs every once in a while. No, I'm feasting daily at His table. Is that how you live? Is your life full and fulfilled in Christ? Are you pursuing the world's vanities for your fulfillment still? Pleasure, recreation, fame, wealth, money, business. Do those things pull hard upon your heart? Are you empty and unfulfilled today? Is there a poverty? Is the fuel gauge on E? Or is it full of the richness of Christ? Are you longing for something real in your life? Are you the same as that lady who's just trying thing after thing after thing? What can satisfy my heart? Is that how you live? Just know that there is a rich life of fulfillment waiting for you in Christ Jesus. Don't miss it. Christ stands before us and says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink and be satisfied. I want to say, don't be content until you find the real thing. Don't be content. Don't kid yourself on having a fake or a counterfeit. Don't be on the porch saying, wow, Jesus is wonderful. No, be sure that you're in the palace. Be sure that you're there at the table and enjoying the rich feast with Jesus. There is immeasurable wealth waiting for you in Christ Jesus. God bless you.